It is poetry here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. NPR issued a poetry challenge recently. Submit lines describing how you've been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. And NPR's poet-in-residence Kwame Alexander is crowdsourcing these poems and launching a new NPR show called Upbeat. He talked about his world on Morning Edition.
I play softball outside my flat with my kid. I cook. I try to do some of those basic things that remind me that I exist, that I am still here. We can treasure the things we do have and still miss the things we've lost.
Do you find poetic inspiration in dark days? Are you writing more? What poet's work gives you comfort? We're at 800-642-1234. Margaret Rozga is the current Wisconsin Poet Laureate. She teaches poetry workshops at UW-Milwaukee's Waukesha campus. Margaret, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate, and good morning to you, and good morning to all the essential workers who might be listening, and I'd like to dedicate my participation today to them.
Yeah, Margaret, thank you. Kimberly Blazer is here. She teaches creative writing and Native American literature at UW-Milwaukee. She's the former State Poet Laureate. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here. And if I could, I'd like to dedicate my portion of this to all of the teachers who are at home still trying to carry on.
Oh, beautiful. Kim, how are you doing these days? How are you feeling these days?
I go, you know, in and out of feeling just fine and thinking, I love being here all secluded, watching spring arrive, and then having days where unexpectedly I feel fearful and I feel worried. And I try not to, you know, hang on the news too much because I think that just feeds our fear. And then I'm very busy because we did go online at UW-Milwaukee, and it's a new challenge to try to translate what you were going to do in person to an online course. And the students are having difficulties, and, you know, just keeping connected with them is a full-time job.
Mm. Margaret, what are your days like?
Well, my days are a little calmer than that because I am not teaching full-time. I write every morning. I do journal entries. Sometimes they turn into poems, sometimes not. My grandchildren, my daughter and her husband and my grandchildren live about a mile away, and when it's nice out, they walk over and we have porch-to-sidewalk conversations.
Oh. Yeah. Margaret, I know that your garden has given you inspiration in the past, looking out at the seasons changing. Has that been good for you?
Oh, that has been wonderful. That is where I try to put my attention rather than, to use Kim's phrase, hanging on the news. And in fact, there were some bare spots in our lawn. I share a building with the people who live upstairs, and we decided to put a garden in there. So we have an expanded garden this year.
Oh, wow. Well, that's probably a good time to have an expanded garden because, you know, there is this more time at home. We have to take each day as it comes. Kim, how do you manage those ups and downs with your writing and with the students? How do you get through those?
So interestingly, I think the way I handle them is partly through the writing. I mean, we live in the country. We live on 6.5 acres in Lyons Township. And I do take walks and I, you know, do some of my work in a hammock or I do some of my work on the deck. So I feel like being in the presence of nature and remembering that, you know, the world is still turning, that the seasons change, that migration means we're coming back. You know, all of those things console me. But also I do turn to writing, just as Peggy said. I write in my journal. I turn some of those things into poems. And I think it helps me process whatever I'm feeling at the moment.
We're talking about writing poetry this hour with two Wisconsin poets. We have Kim Blazer here, we just heard. Margaret Rosga here as well. Kim teaches creative writing and Native American literature at UW-Milwaukee. Margaret teaches a poetry workshop at the university's Waukesha campus. You can join in. What are your tips for keeping a diary? What helps you express your feelings or your observations on paper? Are you keeping a diary during the pandemic? What have you been writing about? Where do you find inspiration through poetry? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret, how valuable is it to keep a diary for maybe in the end writing some poetry?
I've been doing it for well over 20 years. Every morning I maybe miss 5 mornings a year. It orients me, it grounds me, it keeps me alert to the world. I think poets are people who practice close observation, and so whether or not the journal entry turns into a poem, it's that practice of seeing. So I begin simply by looking around me, looking out my window, and begin to observe what I see. I try to fill up a page. I don't require one thing that I observe to connect to the other, but somehow by the time I get to 5 or 6 items, they are starting to connect. And it's just a way of making sense of the world and keeping in touch with what's beautiful and idiosyncratic and what pulls on my attention.
Kim, are there any particular prompts that help you start writing, or, you know, when you're out on a walk or in the hammock, what prompts you to write?
Well, I think what Peggy said about poetry being, she said, a practice of seeing, and I always call it something similar, an active attention, which is like paying attention to what's around you, is one of the things. But I actually also encourage my students, or require actually my students, to keep a journal in the creative writing classes, and I do give them prompts. But some of the things that I think that they should do are things that may seem odd, which is to include things that aren't necessarily words in your journal. So if I'm out, you know, like I tell them, you can collect things, you know, there's a feather, you can make a rubbing of a stone, or you can, you know, so other kinds of things. So also that it's tactile, and you can sketch things that you see, even if you're not an artist, as I'm not. Sometimes those inter-art kind of activities also really wake up your brain. Like they connect the parts of it and get you thinking in ways that you hadn't necessarily ordinarily been looking at something. It's seen, you see it in one way, then suddenly you feel it, see it in another way. So I do have lots of prompts that I give them. And one of them is to, you know, kind of become multidimensional in your journaling.
Multidimensional, that is, you could maybe sketch, you could pick up things, as you mentioned, or just maybe even thinking or reflecting on how you are feeling inside of your body.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a wonderful thought. And I also signed in this this essay by Joan Didion. It's called On Keeping a Notebook. And in there, she talks about just what you said, like how you feel, how it feels to you, because it is about facts, but it's not, our facts are not always exactly the same. Our experience of the world differs, right? And so our perspective on what we encounter is also part of what makes us who we are. And so to be able to remember what we're going through now, you know, a year from now, when we may be back in the busyness of the world, it would be something to look back on, right? And and to be able to see how we thought about things. What are the details that stuck with us? What are the, you know, maybe we do have news stories that touched us and we've made a clipping and put that in our journal.
We're talking with Wisconsin poets Kim Blazer and Margaret Rosga, our guides to poetry. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We We're talking poetry this hour on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're listening to Beats from the 2001 hit Forget About Dre by Dr. Dre and Eminem. After the pandemic, a Milwaukee filmmaker and rapper started creating videos of himself reading none other than Dr. Seuss over beats by Dr. Dre. His rendition of Fox and Sox received millions of views on YouTube. Let's listen to Wes Tank reading Green Eggs and Ham.
I do not like them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I do not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
Are you a fan of Dr. Seuss or another poet? Are you a poet, a songwriter, a performer? What is your artistry like now? Join in 800-642-1234. We have poets Margaret Rosga and Kim Blazer from UW-Milwaukee, and they stay with us. So, Margaret, what about Dr. Seuss? Have you connected with your grandchild over Dr. Seuss?
I haven't, but that was wonderful. I think that's the kind of thing that the arts can do for us. They just open up worlds, open up, well, what U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo talks about is fresh knowledge. So it's not things that we didn't know before, but it's looking at them in a new way and understanding them maybe in a new perspective. That was a good one. One of my granddaughters is the oldest one. She's 12. She is interested in poetry. She and I write some poems together. So that's been a lot of fun, a way to keep that spirit of adventure.
I wonder, did that happen before the pandemic? Were you writing to each other before?
I don't think we did it in quite this concentrated way. Well, yeah. For her birthday, which was just before we were aware of the pandemic, she asked for me to take her and a friend to a coffee shop and have a writing workshop at the coffee shop. That was the first that I knew that she was that interested, that that was something she would ask for a birthday gift. But one of the things about this time is that we have time to connect with each other. She's not running off to school and then to her after-school activities, and I'm not traveling the state, physically driving from place to place, so that we do have time to talk.
Yeah. Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee with a poem. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So it's called To All of Us. It goes like this. During this break in life, we should all take this time to reflect, pause, and perhaps take a deep breath and realize how all our lives intersect. So let's take that deep breath. And once this is done, we will all need to reconnect, to reach out again, to smile, to hug, and not be afraid to touch. I think it's what we all really need, because humanity, all of us, we've all been through so, so very much.
Oh, Marcus, thank you so much for sharing that. Kim, what do you hear in Marcus's poem?
Well, I think the idea of us being separate and yet needing to reconnect, that sort of longing that we have, I think that's one of the things that touched me out of that.
Yeah, Marcus, did this just come to you, or have you been working on this poem?
It just came to me, and I wrote it during the intro of your show when you announced the topic. It's just like the lines just came to me, and I felt the need to write it down and share.
Yeah. Do you do much writing during the pandemic, or do you have other outlets?
Painting.
Painting.
I do a lot of painting and drawing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, thank you so much for sharing that. Margaret, Margaret, have you been writing specifically at all about the pandemic?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. I have been writing about a variety of things. maybe the thing that grabbed me the most was I actually became the math tutor in my grandchildren's homeschool, was working with one of the children on fractions and decimals and so on. And so I wrote a poem that was fractions, word fractions. So, like, for example, my poem over my life was a fraction. So my poem is part of my life, but not my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Playing around like that. And I've written a lot of things that were fractional, and I think that comes from my experience during the pandemic of feeling kind of fractional, feeling not, in some ways, not my whole self, and looking for that connection that Marcus talked about in his poem, which did fit right into this conversation beautifully.
We're discussing poetry this hour with two UW-Milwaukee educators. We have Margaret Rosga there and Kim Blazer with us. Margaret is the current Wisconsin Poet Laureate. Kim was the State Poet Laureate for 2015 to 2016. You can join in with poetry that inspires you. Who are some of your favorite poets? What are some of your favorite poems or books or collections? What poetry are you reading right now? Do you struggle with writer's block? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kim, hearing Marcus's poem, it reminded me a bit that you have a poem that you wrote recently called All Alone. And I pause there with all because there's a comma, all alone. Would you mind reading that, sharing that with us?
Sure, of course. All alone. One. Each of us newly untouchable, islanded, the space around us, six spheres across, even elbow bumps passé. Two. Coronavirus night terrors. 3 a.m. awakened, a strange feeling of something coursing arms to toes through my body, odd awareness of system, motion, fever worry, the outcomes, breathe, breathe, chant calm, chant future, tell myself spring, deck birds a concert, migration sky, in sacred planet cycles, hibernation becomes return. Three, uncharted, this somber, slide back in time, old B-movie fears, Boris Karloff background music, a taunt to calm. Somebody counting days by Zoom, somebody forgetting. Too many everybody's dying. Or, and unsettled, incessant tweet head leads, America, do you see your mistake now? Directive, finally, wash your hands, mute the partisan, PR, clown shows. Five, new plan, survive, revive civility.
Thank you, Kim, so much for sharing this poem. And as I'm following along, you provide a lot of space between words. And then survive, revive civility, it almost is like it's falling off the page.
It is, yes. And I think that I love that you noticed that, Kate, about the space, because that's part of it, is like, because we are alone, right? And we are islanded in this time in a way. And yet we have this, I misspoke, but it's like unstilled, incessant tweet head leads. I mean, it's like never stopping, some of those things that continue to come to us from the political scene. And yet there's this big contrast. And I think that sort of thoughtful time that we have, like we have this, and then there's this, like there is space to think, to reexamine, and to move to a new space, a new kind of relationship, like civility would be great, right?
Mm. And there's that mantra of breathe, breathe, chant calm, chant future. That, to me, is just the rhythm really spoke to me.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Yes.
Margaret, what do you hear in this poem?
Well, your description of how it's based on the page really struck me. Actually, all of Kim's poems, there's a rhythm to her voice that even when I read her poems, when she's not there, I can hear her. There is a breath tone to her, rhythm, a rise and a fall and a moving on. But the space, Woodland Pattern Book Center has a series of prompts. They usually post one once a week of prompts against anxiety. And I did one for them. And that's, it was the space that I talked about because we're talking about social distancing. But there are some things we want to be close to. So use your page as a canvas and feel free to spread out your words or bunch them together with no space between words.
We're talking with Wisconsin Poet Laureate Margaret Rozga, who is with us, former Poet Laureate Kim Blazer, back after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about poetry here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In March, as the coronavirus outbreak gained steam, a retired teacher from Madison saw her poem about social distancing go viral, and it describes people listening more deeply, meditating, praying, dancing, and healing. The piece was widely shared on social media and falsely credited to poets from the Irish potato famine or the Spanish flu. And the true author, Kitty O'Meara, told Oprah magazine that going viral felt like a gift because she had been able to offer spiritual care to so many people. Is poetry a gift to you? What poems are you reading now? What are you writing about? Share with us at 800-642-1234. We have Margaret Rozga and Kim Blazer. They're educators and poets at UW-Milwaukee, and they stay with us. Kim, how are poetry authors being affected by the pandemic? What is this industry like right now? Kim, can you hear us? I think we might have lost Kim here for a moment. Margaret, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. How do you see the industry affected?
Well, some poets are writing more, some are writing less. They feel too distracted to concentrate on a poem. As far as the business angle of poetry, that is giving readings and selling books, that came to an abrupt halt in March when there were restrictions on movement for the pandemic. But people are finding ways to do those things online. But there is a serious question about book sales, about the ability to promote a book. A lot of book sales come when the poet appears and can talk about what prompted those poems and give background information and people hear the words embodied. And there's a sense in which poets are very small business people, and the business part is suffering.
Mm. Margaret, I understand you brought a poem with us. It's one that is really dear to you. You wrote it. It's called Cake and Lemonade for Neighbors. And I was wondering if you would read it for us.
Yes, I'd be happy to. This was a poem that I wrote for inclusion in a poetry chapbook anthology called Where I Want to Live, Poems for Fair and Affordable Housing. Cake and lemonade for neighbors. Where I want to live, neighbors gather on front porches, watch their children play across multiple front yards, laugh in Spanish, Arabic, Burmese, English, talk about back in the day, share sweet and savory snacks, lend each other a cup of sugar or flour, borrow hedge trimmers, a shovel or rake, help with chores when need be, apologize when need be, offer a word of advice, not more, drums, drum guitars, and pluck banjos, make a little noise sometimes, sometimes bring out a kitchen chair so everyone finds a comfortable place to sit on the unscreened, wide, or narrow porch or on the stoop. Sometimes just enjoy all black, brown, white, golden, quiet together.
Oh, that's so beautiful to see community, to see a neighborhood in this manner, and to know that there's hope that one day we will get back to the cake and the lemonade and the neighbors on the stoop.
Yes. Well, I think that we can't lose sight of the world that we want to be, and to use this pause in time to think about how to build that world.
Thank you for sharing this poem. Let's bring in another call now. Kay is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kay.
Good morning, and I'm so happy to hear these two wonderful poets this morning. I heard Margaret read her poetry at the Friends Meeting House some time ago, and I took a wonderful course with Kim Blazer on spiritual autobiography also a number of years ago. And their speaking reminded me of a poem that I wrote in March of 1976, and I'd like to share it. It's called Soundscape. Can it be a red-winged blackbird here in this cold March gray city, singing your half-musical, half-raucous song? Strange that you should sing it here without a marsh or meadow near, and summer's muse in hiding. Still, I'm grateful. You have carried me to summertime long ago in the pasture, barefoot suntanned legs along the dusty cow path, me and Robert walking on our hands, floating on our bellies in the muddy pond the cows drank from, and red-winged blackbirds singing in the willows.
Okay, that is so amazing. Can you tell us a little bit, what this is 1976, early spring. What is around you? Where did the inspiration come?
Well, I was in my kitchen in Shorewood, and I heard a red-winged blackbird in the backyard. And it was no doubt, I've learned since, that they migrate through here about that time, but I didn't realize it before that. And it did exactly what the poem says.
Okay, thank you so much, Kim Blazer, a former student there, with the poem Soundscape.
That was wonderful. Hi, Kate. I wanted to say...
And it was you who suggested I change the title from Red Winged Blackbird to something else. Thanks for that.
Well, I'm glad it was helpful. I'm glad to connect with former students. It's lovely to know that they're still out there in the world creating poetry. And what I really loved about that poem also is the way that it says, carry me to summertime long ago, and the way that poetry can make those connections across the different eras of our life. It's like I talk about remembering, putting back together those elements, you know, from different eras, different ideas. It's that connection, I think, that makes poetry so special in the way that we build ideas, and it can really like awaken our interior and bring us back to who we were and how that connects to who we are now. And I think that's important, that we just are grounded both in place, which is part of what's lovely about that poem, but also that we can wander in time.
Oh, yeah. Margaret, red-winged blackbird and being grateful for it. What did you get out of this poem?
Well, I am in awe of Kim's description of what I felt. She really was right on about my reaction to that poem, the layering or the interweaving of times, and how some specific experience will give us this moment of infinity, really. where time ceases to matter because it all becomes one. But I've noticed, just to bring it up to this spring, I've noticed red-winged blackbirds. I've noticed how loud the birds are, and I don't know if that's because they're unusually loud this year or if it's because there are fewer other noises that are blocking out the sound of them. But, it's their song is something that is very important and very meaningful and a source of joy.
Kay, may I ask you, are you writing these days? How are you filling your days?
Well, right, the pandemic coincided with my decision to downsize from my home on the near west side of Milwaukee to an apartment downtown. So that's how I'm filling my days, which has to do with certainly revisiting memories, but also mostly with deciding what to keep and what to let go of.
Oh, wow. That is such a time of transition, and the whole world around you is going through a different type of transition as well.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for this privilege of sharing with you all.
Okay, thank you so much. Kim Blazer, what happens when you get writer's block or you just can't seem to find the right words for that poem?
So I do a few different things. And it's interesting, it actually connects up to Kay's poem because part of what inspires me is, you know, whatever's around me. And so I just immerse myself in something. And in this moment, it would be nature. I do a lot of photography as well. I'm a nature photographer. So many times I'll make photos, and recently, honestly, great egrets. I just had an indigo bunting at the bird feeder yesterday, but all kinds of birds returning. So whatever, I might make photos and then respond to the photo as another way of getting my poetry flowing, or, you know, as I say, immerse yourself and just pay attention. So sometimes I'll have my notebook and I'm writing down what people say. I'm writing down snatches of language I see around me. So it's really a gathering process. And I'd love to tell you the story about one of my dear friends, Amy Desjarlais, who has since passed away. But she was one early morning, she had gone in a rowboat out on a lake. And you never know when poetry is going to strike. Mm-hmm. And suddenly was inspired, and she had nothing on which to write. She did have a pen, so she wrote on this rented rowboat. And then the next morning, she comes back to the place where she had rented the rowboat, and she said, I need to, you know, rent the rowboat I had yesterday again. He goes, oh, we got lots of rowboats. No, I need to rent the rowboat yesterday. So that, you know, one of the things I tell my students is, you know, always have pen and paper because you just don't know. And so I have, you know, not just my journal, but I have journals and I have scraps of paper and
scraps of life.
Yeah. Or, you know, be ready, right?
We have Wisconsin poets Kim Blazer with us, Margaret Rozga here, exploring how poetry resonates with us and making sure that the paper is there at the plenty with your poetry as well at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. So the nursery rhyme Ring Around the Rosie is sometimes described as tracing back to the plague in England, but modern folklorists are skeptical, in part because the song appeared earlier in other parts of Europe and linking it to the plague didn't become popular until the past century. Still, the story is a fixture in our culture, and Ring Around the Rosie regained attention recently with the coronavirus. What stories do you want to share about poetry? Do you read nursery rhymes to your child? Do you enjoy reading or writing poetry yourself? Still time to talk and share, 800-642-1234. We have UW-Milwaukee poets Margaret Rozga and Kim Blazer who stay with us. So, Margaret and Kim, I've been reading some poetry lately, and I picked up Adrienne Rich again, and I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the poem Diving into the Wreck, I feel like It's not a perfect metaphor, of course, for the coronavirus, but just diving into the unknown each day and the researchers who are just feeling their way around what this could be coming up for air. So Adrian Rich is diving into the wreck, and I just want to read a little bit, a couple stanzas here. There is a ladder. The ladder is always there, hanging innocently close to the side of the schooner. We know what it is for. We know who have used it. Otherwise, it is a piece of maritime floss, some sundry equipment. I go down, rung after rung, and still the oxygen immerses me, the blue light, the clear atoms of our human air. I go down. My flippers cripple me. I crawl like an insect down the ladder, and there is no one to tell me when the ocean will begin. First the air is blue, and then it is bluer, and then green, and then black. I am blacking out, and yet my mask is powerful. It pumps my blood with power. The sea is another story. The sea is not a question of power. I have to learn alone to turn my body without force in the deep element. Kim, I don't know what it is drawing me to this poetry, and I love Adrienne Rich and her work, but going down into that blackness, the quiet, feeling around a shipwreck feels awfully like what we're kind of living with each day.
It does. I love that line, no one to tell me where the ocean will begin. You know, that sense of no one to tell us what to expect, right? And we're just going, and we just have to adjust as we, whatever we see, whatever we encounter. And there is this kind of, it's a fear, but it's an anticipation. I love that, those lines as well. And then of course there's the mention of the mask, right? Mm. And we're all thinking about, in her case, it brings her air, it brings her what she needs. And we feel that the mask is somehow keeping us isolated, you know, cutting us off. It's interesting though, among my journal, I was looking at when you were reading that, I just wrote down this line, a lust for air, which had nothing to do with what you just read. It was a few days ago. But there is that sense of, you know, we're thinking about different things, and maybe that's why that poem is drawing you at this moment.
I think so. Yeah. Margaret, what do you think about going down there and feeling out a shipwreck?
It may not be a perfect metaphor for where we are, but it certainly has points of identity with where we are. That there is something is a wreck, and we are exploring it. I actually had a feeling very much like this in a different set of circumstances. Right on Door County posts images of works that are in Door County galleries every Friday and invites people to write about them. And there was one that was a woods in a hazy, smoky sort of atmosphere. There were no leaves on the trees. There weren't even very many branches. You couldn't see very far into the woods, so it was all gray tones, and I felt like that image pulled me into a sense of where I was today, and it was that same like where are we? Why do things look different? Why is it a sense of destruction here, and can I get through this? Questioning and exploring and doubt and wonder and determination to make something of the situation. So it's a different image altogether than what we get in Adrienne Rich's poem, but the feeling is the same, and I think it's something that I've experienced and am experiencing present tense during the pandemic.
Something is off. something is not right, right? Let's go to Roy now, who's joining us from Sister Bay. Hi, Roy.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to share, Roy?
40 years ago, while camping in a caldera in a town in Mexico called Santa Maria del Oro, I had this mystical experience, and I wrote a poem about it. And shall I read it now?
Please, yes.
It's called The High Flyer. Soaring in that quiet place, the high flyer dreams of deep blue space. Here's the light that stills the mind and leaves this world far, far behind. The secret, I do believe, is to look beyond the shape and form of things, to read between the lines of what is said and what is not, and what is thought and what is not. One day, this will guide us to that silent night and grace our lives with holy golden light. That's it.
High flyer. And so you, yeah, and this was in Mexico where this poem came to you.
In Mexico, it wasn't a poem. I wrote a story about my experience, and it was what they call, in Christianity, they call the divine light, and in Buddhism, they call it the mind's illuminosity. And I've been studying for 40 years to try to figure out what that experience was, because it was totally spontaneous, and I didn't know anything about religion or mysticism or meditation or anything.
Oh, Kim Blazer, what do you make of that spiritual moment?
Well, I feel like that's something that's often a common experience. We don't have names for it. I love that mind's luminosity. People sometimes talk about peak experience or that moment when the ego disappears and you're a part of this larger world. And it's like, I think that sort of transformational moment is a part of a lot of poets' experience and our experience as humans. And we sometimes almost go to silence. We have no language for it. And yet that is one of the things that poetry does, is tries to speak the unspeakable, to talk about those things for which we really have no language. And so I love that that poem is attempting to do that, to talk about that kind of moment, right?
Roy, do you have any of these moments since? Do you still write?
Well, I write and I meditate, but that experience came out of a moment of silence. And I had been laying there trying to go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep, so I just started concentrating on my heart and breathing slowly, and pretty soon all my thoughts stopped, and then there was this momentary silence and darkness. And I said this to myself, and I don't know how it came to me. I said, whatever this is before me, I surrender. And that's when the light came.
Roy, thank you so much for sharing that. Margaret, we're almost out of time. Are there any final thoughts you could leave us with about poetry?
Well, if I remember correctly, the poem that Ray just read ended with the word light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're looking for, and I think that's what poetry can help us find.
Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Margaret Rozga is the Wisconsin Poet Laureate for 2019 to 2020. Kim Blazer, she was the Wisconsin Poet Laureate for 2015 to 2016. They both teach writing at UW-Milwaukee. We've been talking poetry all hour. If you missed part of the conversation, you can stream or download later today at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, it's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're listening to Poetry in Motion on the Ideas Network.
Poetry in Motion. See you.